Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-8753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning, so you can get on over there and check that out. But always swing by there. You never know what's going to pop up, whatever. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. Dan the Man is at? So Dan and I had opposite problems yesterday on FanDuel. I got really good pitching out of Chris Archer. Went off for 55 points for me, and my lineup as a whole scored 104. Dan, on the other hand, got terrible pitching out of John Lackey, but got really good hitting. And that means neither of us won, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the top 2,000.
All right, well, we are going to load it up and try it again. We are free. What the hell, right? Tonight I'm going with Mark Stroman of the Blue Jays as my pitcher. He's cost me $9,100. Sal Perez, catcher, he's fifth. Royals cost me $3,000. Mark Reynolds of the Rockies, my first baseman, he's hitting fifth for them, cost me $3,300. Whit Merrifield, another Royal, is going to be my second baseman tonight. He's leading off for them. He cost me $3,400. Going with Adrian Beltre at third base, his price tag's a little up because he's been hot. He cost me $4,200. But he's hitting cleanup for the Rangers tonight. Shortstop, I like Corey Seager of the Dodgers. He's hitting second in their lineup, cost me $3,700. And my outfield is Gerardo Parra of the Rockies. He's hitting cleanup for them, cost me $3,400. Alex Presley of the Tigers cost me $2,500. He's hitting second for them tonight. And I wrap my lineup up with Brandon Nimmo of the Mets. He cost me $2,300, and he's leading off for the Mets tonight. So again, I'm going with Stroman pitching, Sal Perez catching, Reynolds at first, Whit Merrifield at second, Adrian Beltre at third, Corey Seager at short, and then Gerardo Parra, Alex Presley, and Brandon Nimmo in my outfield. So yeah, I ended up with a couple Royals and a couple Rockies, so hopefully that's an offensive game tonight or else I'm going to be dead in the water. I'm on the wrong screen. Sorry.
You got that one, right? What did, in the water.
What did, yes. What did, yes, I did get that. But I was just, I was on the wrong screen. There we go. That place never. So what did your lineup end up looking like today?
Trying to go with just save a little money in the pitcher category. So I dropped down. I figured he could have a good night going up against the White Sox. That's Urban Santana. I really wanted to go with one of the Houston Washington series, but I don't know. I went with Urban Santana. I spent a little bit of money again on Gary Sanchez. Went to first base, Yonder Alonso. Face with Cash down at the bottom with Eduardo Nunez over there leading off of Boston. Second base for $3,000, or I'm sorry, third base for $3,000, and he's stuck in with Brandon Phillips. I'm hoping D.D. Gregorius has a good night. I figured tonight's the night to roll the dice on Kyle Schwarber. Second outfielder Christian Yelich, and batting fifth for the Diamondbacks.
J.D. Martinez.
don't know. I didn't really look today's lineup perfectly anymore.
Yeah, I need a could use a big night. We'll see how it works out, but I can't seem to put it all together. It's like I either get good hitting and bad pitching or good pitching and bad hitting.
Yeah, well, like you said, I was checking in on the winners last night. And literally, the guy on top got one. And actually, that was the Tellers.
You know, kind of moving on here. We had what we would have a big NBA trade yesterday is the Cleveland Cavaliers actually granted Kyrie Irving's wish. I found it interesting. He really had no leverage whatsoever in this, but they still went out and dealt him. I think they did K. in the deal. You know, there's a lot of fallout to it, so it's going to be interesting to see. But they sent him to Boston, which is interesting because it's two teams that matched up in the Eastern Conference Finals. In return, they get Isaiah Thomas, Boston point guard, Jake Crowder, who's a forward, center Ante, I'm going to guess this is Zizek, who Boston drafted a couple years ago, but he hasn't played in the NBA yet. He's playing overseas. And more importantly, they get the 2018 first-round pick of the Brooklyn Nets that Boston years back. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierson, and a bunch of other people to the Nets deal. I don't know. You like the way this worked out for one team better than the other, or how are you set on this?
Well, I mean, worked out a little better for Cleveland. They got four for one. But
yeah, you know, I think the thing I wonder, and I don't know maybe this would change your mind about it. You know, this is Thomas's last year of his deal, so they're going to have to make the big decision right away on if they want to keep him or not.
Yeah. Really.
Hey, hang on. You're drowned. Nobody can hear you. Obviously, I mean, the big decisions that, of course, that's going to make this, I think either a good deal or a bad deal is what, LeBron also does. You know, he's in the last year of his deal. Kyrie is still locked up. I think he's got 3 years left. So Boston's going to have him this season and two more. It could turn out where, if James walks, there's no real reason for them to bring Thomas back. You have to wonder if this works out for them. I mean, obviously they would have a top draft pick to build with, but would that still be enough in your opinion in that kind of deal?
Well, I mean, I think you kind of wrote about it this morning. I did find it interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of the signs point to the Lakers, and LeBron headed that way after this season's over with. So, I mean, it puts your name Cleveland in a good position to have that draft pick. But with Kyrie gone and you're left with Kevin Love, who I think is done after this season too, where does that really leave Cleveland? Does that mean Boston takes over the East from here on out?
Washington. Disappointing to me last year. Obviously, with LeBron still in the mix, Cleveland is going to be right there this year. But I really think, Boston improved itself. They had to give up four guys to be. I really, he's a better player than Thomas. You know, nothing against Thomas, but he's also – nobody really knows his status yet. You know, he had that hip injury, missed the final game of the Eastern Conference Finals, opted not to have surgery. So apparently he's been rehabbing it, you would assume, all off season. But oddly, not even the Cavaliers know what his injury status is. And, you know, we're, you know, not, you know, less than, what, a month and a half away from the season starting now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if he is injured or still working on it, the way Cleveland is set up, they can still win games with Kevin Love and LeBron. So if they don't have Isaiah Thomas through October, even November, I think they'll be fine. And then you'll have a guy who's more or less rested, which is, you know, a big concern with the NBA these days. Out of 80, was it one or two games? You know, what do these guys sit out at least 10 of them throughout the season? He'll be well rested and ready to go for the playoffs.
Well, yeah, you know, and don't forget, you know, if he's out or if he's got to miss time, you know, the Cavaliers have Derrick Rose that they can plug in there.
I forgot about him.
So, you know, that's definitely a, you know, an add there. And, you know, more and more you wonder, you know, it's looking like the Bulls and Dwayne Wade are going to agree on a buyout. You know, the big rumor was late that everybody thought he was going back to Miami because he registered his kids for school there. But, you know, there's always a chance he ends up in Cleveland with, you know, his buddy LeBron. Do you see, you know, him, maybe you think Miami is that option that everybody seems to kind of mention?
Well, first of all, I guess I'd have to ask you, how does that work?
Well,
by him out. Then he gets his upfront $20 million check, take to the bank, and then he's free to sign with whoever for how much. Free to sign with whoever for whatever they want to sign up for.
Yeah, I believe, you know, obviously once you're bought out, you become a free agent. You know, depending on where you go, I mean, the Cavaliers don't have any money. You know, so he would probably have to sign for, like, the veterans minimum. If he wanted to go there. I don't know the Miami salary cap situation off the top of my head, but I can't see at this point anybody throwing the kind of money the Bulls did at Dwayne Wade last year. You know, if he wants to play, obviously he's going to have to take a smaller deal, so he's going to go where he wants to go. I would assume Cleveland to give him the chance to win another title, wouldn't you?
I mean, pregame shoot around, LeBron and Dwayne Wade would sit there and talk at half court. I never understood because they are both at the same time. Why can't you go out for dinner afterwards? Or why didn't you go out for lunch earlier that day? It just seemed like such a, I don't know. Kind of, I get it, it's a players' league. You know, you're the king, you can do whatever you want. But at the same time, I just feel like it shows a little disrespect. I know it's not for but maybe disrespect for the team. No, it's your team. While everyone else is shooting around, you should be doing the same. Unless you're wearing your suit, then you can, you know, keep your composure and get a on and sit on the sideline and watch everybody. But I think it would be something else. Maybe even kind of school, but, you know, I think the issue comes with that being you'd have Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, and Isaiah Thomas all fighting for the same position and minutes. That's got to be the issue there.
Yeah, well, you know, Wade can play the off-guard spot, you know, if he has to. Of course, you know, you're looking at guys who, you know, I mean, who knows how many games Derrick Rose is going to play. And, you know, at Wade's age, he can't play back-to-back anymore. I know there's less on schedule this year. So, you know, we'll have to see how that kind of works out. But, of course, we talked about Thomas and Skip injury, so they may need three guys to cover the spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you say, you know, like it's pretty much between Miami and Cleveland. Because if he does play Cleveland, that's obviously trying to get one more ring on that finger. Because I think he had to know 100% going into the Chicago deal that there was no ring in sight. it was just kind of something for him to come up to Chicago and put on the jersey, for a season. So he only played one season, right? This would have been the second.
Yeah.
It seemed like last year was a long season. Felt like two seasons in one. But, at his position, you would almost think that he'd go down to Miami and finish out the year and retire, or maybe just flat out retire.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, even if you sign Dwayne Wade, I mean, if he goes to the Cavaliers, I don't think he's the make-or-break guy anymore. You know, it's kind of like he's still got a name, which I think, people, but as it comes as a player, I mean, who really saw his deteriorate last year. I mean, I still remember him going to the basket and trying to dunk and getting rejected by the rim, which, obviously we never saw in his, younger days. He was never a great outside shooter to begin with. So he, he's not going to be able to kind of remake his game to fit the new style of NBA here. But, he brings, veteran leadership, as I'm sure, somebody will tell you, and, all that stuff. I see here he played 60 games with the Bulls last year. He did average 18.3 points, so, not terrible, but he was a 31% three-point shooter. Only attempted a couple of games. In this NBA, if you look at Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, guys like that almost average double digits. For his career, he's only a 28% three-point shooter. Almost 29. So it's a nice name. When you say Dwayne Wade, obviously, he's had a great career. He's been an all-star a bazillion times. He's won, multiple championships. Clear that he's a Hall of Famer. But yeah, you get to the point where I just think it might be. Might be kind of the end of the road. He's 35. He'll be 36 in January. So I don't know. I'm looking here. There's an article about the rumored buyout of Dwayne Wade. I want to see if they have anything interesting on where he looks like what you and I said. They kind of got it narrowed down to going back to Miami or going to.
I was under the impression that was done. I didn't realize it was still a rumor.
Yeah, who knows what'll happen there, but the best thing for the Bulls obviously is to. I think we knew it was a bad deal. I don't know why they were given, Dwayne Wade, what was it, a year with, 3 years, technically a year with two option years. I don't know what the heck they were thinking, but, that's how it shook out. And
I guess the 1 year, maybe one 1 year deal. Okay, I get it. But way it worked out.
I saw what's always been that we've been waiting on forever. Ben Simmons was cleared to go full practice with the 76ers when they get up and running and everything, but apparently they're still waiting on Joel Embiid to be cleared. You know, I guess trust the process. You know, they proved last year without Simmons, who I don't think played in a game. Is this just kind of what we're going to do with the Sixers? We're going to look and go, oh, hey, this guy's hurt again, or that guy's hurt again?
I mean, it's hard to be excited this year. Sixers stuff, right? I mean, they're just practice full time for full practice. How long did that last?
You know, yeah, it kind of seems like, we've heard about this for so long, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, look at the young core of talent they're putting together. Oh, good Lord, you know, it's going to be so, so fantastic, and, you know, they're all on the court together, and now I just don't know if we're ever going to see them all on. Yeah, what to make of it, or what to be of it, or how it goes. I'm just like, well, let's see. I'm kind of to the point where it's like, well, let's get them all on the court first, and then I'll kind of make a decision on how they are or if they're good. I was wondering, you know, this is, you know, MMA isn't something I get into a whole lot, but, you know, they did have a really big fight on their last show. They did a rematch of, you know, Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. So Jones ended up winning the fight. But apparently, he tested positive for, I've heard conflicting reports, but he tested positive for something in a drug test that was done the day before the fight. Not the first time this has happened. I don't know. How would you handle this? Because they're talking now, his second suspension, this one would be for 2 years. He's 30 years old. Have we seen the last of him, or could he come back as a 32 or 33-year-old fighter and still be great?
I think he could still come back, but, I get it. You don't want it in the sport, but let's be honest. Don't you kind of have to be on drugs to be an MMA fighter?
Well, you know, it seems like it as of late. I do find it hilarious that of all the guys to call out after he won his fight, he called out Brock Lesnar, who the only way he was able to fight for the UFC was they had to give him a drug waiver. Otherwise, there was no way in hell he could pass the test, and he did fail everything just like it was expected to. It seems like more and more, you know, these guys fail. I just saw where Junior Dos Santos, a former heavyweight champion, was taken off. I think it's the next pay-per-view, 215, because he failed a drug test. And hey, it's great that they have all these tougher enforcements, but does this kind of kill their sport?
No, because, I mean, if you think about it, in the end, with the less, you know, the less amount of steroid users and such, you kind of bring it back to the base where it's smaller guys, and it becomes that sport, or it maintains that idea of the sport. sport that anyone can do it. You know, my I have family members who go to a couple MMA style training boot camp classes, and they think they could, you know, go out and fight in the ring, in the octagon, so to speak. And I just kind of chuckle and go, yeah, okay, see, I'm pumped.
Yeah, that's funny, because back in the day, I used to train with a guy before it got really popular. He was helping me with just some grappling stuff. And I never once in my life thought I could ever beat him. So it's funny that you've got family members who think, you know, a couple training sessions they could get in the ring. You know, I guess maybe I'm smarter than they are. I knew I'd get my ass whooped. So.
I mean, and, you know, it's not MMA, but the only thing I would even consider would be, you know, which is hard to find locally. And if you do find it, it's very expensive. But, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And obviously the masters of that are the Gracies down in Brazil. So, and of course, that's the hard part is you've got so many umpteen guys who claim to have trained with the Gracies and, you know, more or less just take your money. But if you, ever watch...
Like professional.
That too. But, I mean, if you've ever watched, you know, because they were kind of the precursor to MMA, I mean, that I think you could... I would, you know, maybe do a couple of sessions and think I could do that, because at the end, you're getting your ass stretched out, and, you know, as physical as I was, I mean, MMA, let's face it, you can die.
Jiu-Jitsu,
you're going to tap out. You know, Jiu-Jitsu, you're going to tap out. I'd rather go into a sport where, you know, I may have a cramp or, you know, maybe some pulled muscles after I tapped out than, you know, going to sleep after a fight and not waking up the next day.
Yeah, you know, and it, you know, I mean, looking at the guys John Jones has beat, you know, he's 23-1 in his career. He hasn't lost since December 5th, 2009, and he lost to a fighter by the name of Matt Hamill. I have no idea who Matt Hamill was. I'll have to look him up in a minute, but, you know, you look at the names, you know, that was his second win over Daniel Cormier. He's beaten Glover Teixeira, Alexander Gustafsson, Chael Sonnen, Vitor Belfort, Rashad Evans, Lyoto Machida, Quinton Jackson, Mauricio Uwa, you know, Ryan Bader, Stefan Bonner is on this list. I mean, there's some big MMA names that he's beaten. And, you know, you just kind of wonder, is it tainted now that he's failed, you know, a drug test? You know, do you have to question his entire thing? Kind of, you know, like a baseball player, a Barry Bonds, a Sammy Sosa, a Rafael Palmeiro, you know, McGuire, those kind of guys.
I mean, yes and no. I think it also depends on, you know, what was happening in the sport at the time. I mean, it does make you bigger, stronger, faster, but I don't know. It's hard to say because, I mean, the other thing I know there's no scientific studies that I'm sure it'd be difficult to fully actually prove it, but the one thing I noticed a lot about Kawada's, you know, PED users, they seem to get hurt a lot. You know, and I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'd hate to say if the guy on the other side wasn't doing it too, but I wouldn't doubt it. You know, just like all the baseball guys you named. Granted, I'm sure there was a lot of guys during their era that weren't using it, but, I mean, let's be honest. The reason it came to light was because Jose Canseco wanted some attention back and make some more money. He wrote a book about it.
Yeah, he actually wrote two books about it.
And as much, you know, Bud Selig and company say they don't know, I mean, after the strike in 94, baseball was on the downslide. So for as much as these writers want to, you know, pull out their holy caps and they're holier than now, I guess that's the phrase I was looking for, that helped keep the game. Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire, home run chase. That's interesting to see that kind of was falling. or it had fallen, and people, you know, really didn't follow it as much. So they can put all the asterisks by Barry Bonds, Marcus Fire, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But at the same time, without, if they weren't doing what they were doing, they saw wouldn't have brought, had that popularity brought back anymore. As much as it
is. All right, well, I had to look up Matt Hamill. I had to look up Matt Hamill because I had no idea who the heck he was. He's 40 years old now. He'll be 41 in July. His career MMA record is 11-8. He hasn't fought since October 14th of 2016. He's actually lost 6 of his last 7 fights and is on a 4-fight losing streak. But he does hold a win over. He's the only guy who's ever beaten John Jones. So just one of, you know, that's the one thing about that sport. I mean, you just kind of never know who's going to beat who. But, yeah, that's who Matt Hamill is, because I was wondering.
Hey, Matt Hamill.
And his nickname is the Hammer. So, he's got that going. And, I know we'll have to remember come Friday, Dan. I got to tell you, I'm not exactly excited for it, but we're probably going to have to break down and talk about the Mayweather-McGregor fight and all that fun stuff that goes with it. So.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, what is there really to talk about?
No, you know, we'll find something worse.
Yeah.
But we do have, moving over to stuff that I enjoy a little more. We have one final in baseball and another game that's actually in extra inning. The Giants did help the Cubs out today. They beat the Brewers 4-2. Hunter Strickland picked up the win. Sam Dyson got the save. And Jacob Barnes took the loss for the Brewers today. Now, the Orioles and the A's are going into the top of the 11th inning in a game that's now tied 7-7. Daniel Gossett and dance guy Dylan Bundy were the respective starters in this game. Bundy didn't pitch bad. He went 6 innings, 7 hits, gave up 3 runs. They were all earned, but he struck out 8. It was kind of the Oriole bullpen a little shaky. Michael Givens came in and gave up 2 runs, and believe it or not, Zach Britton gave up 2 runs in just a third of an inning. So a bit of a surprise there. On the A side, Gossett went 5 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs. They were all earned. He walked a couple, struck out 6. So he wasn't quite as good as Bundy, but the A's have managed to get themselves back in the game. Matt Joyce has homered for the A's. It was his 19th of the year. Let's see. The Orioles have 2. Chris Davis has 1, hit his 20th. And former Cub Wellington Castillo hit his 14th. So, yeah, that game heads into the top of the 11th. So we'll see if somebody manages to get a win here before Dan and I go away. If I remember, I will let you know. I know. I think. Did I trade Matt Moore to you, or did I just end up cutting him?
I wouldn't have taken him, but he probably just cut him.
Okay. So yeah, he made the start for the Giants today. Actually, had a quality start. 6 innings, 5 hits, just 1 run, a 1 earned run, walked 2, struck out 6. Matt Garza made the start for the Brewers. He wasn't bad either. He went just 5 innings, 5 hits, a run, 2 walks, strikeouts there. So the starters weren't bad. Dyson did give up a run, getting the save for the Giants. Mark Melancholy, he picked up the hole, struck out a couple guys. On the plus side for me, I have Hunter Strickland in one of our leagues, so I'm going to get a win. That's a big plus for me. Barnes took a loss. He did give up 2 runs in his inning pitched, and Carlos Torres also gave up a run. Let's see. There was finally a homer in the game. They were talking about how the Brewers couldn't hit homers in San Francisco. Well, Stephen Vogt hit one today, but it was a little late. It came to the top of the ninth, and there was nobody on. So You know, if the Cubs can get a win tonight, they'll be able to extend their lead over the Brewers. And, you know, that's something they need to do, right, Dan? They need to get away in this division while they're playing bad teams.
Oh, yeah.
So, we'll have to... Oh, excuse me. Take that. We're talking about the team. Why is... Well, but then, you know, Dan, believe it or not, I know you probably can't believe this at this point. I had another injury to a player on my team, on one of my fantasy teams. I believe now my bench will be completely filled with guys with DL on the DL. The Red Sox put Jackie Bradley Jr. on the DL today. I believe I got him in the trade from you. He has a sprained left thumb. And they say he's going to be in a splint for 5 to 7 days, and then they will reevaluate him to see what the situation looks like. So yeah, you can add one more injury to my wonderful team of injured guys. I actually probably have to go in and see if I have anybody who plays that position and can swap out, because I need to get some of these guys back. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to field a team.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you hurried up now, you could swap Nelson Cruz for Matt Kemp. But, yeah, I'm looking at your one team, and, wow, let's see, the Snake League.
Yeah. He'll be like my eighth or ninth guy added to the DL. So it's turning into a difficult run here at the end for me. So I have to get guys healthy to get, you know, move into the playoffs here.
Yeah, well, at least in the auction league, you're only down, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. But I will say that you should have logged in right now, because your second baseman isn't starting. But you don't have
I'm in the process of getting there. You know, I've got that. I've got that super fast DirecTV internet, so I'm waiting for it. The wind must be blowing because it's not moving. So I'm trying to get started. Yeah.
Which did work out last week. I forget which league it was in, but I think it was one of them, obviously, where I beat the number one team. So it does give me a little hope for the playoffs, you know, going into it. I actually knocked him out of first place and put him in the second place in my win.
that's a plus. Oh yeah, look at that. I actually have a DL spot on this team I can use. It wasn't the team with all the injuries, so I can actually put Bradley on the DL and find a guy to hopefully win for a little bit. It wasn't quite the nightmare I thought it was going to be.
So with one of the kind of an interesting decision I made. It was kind of funny in the auction league. I had both Justin Turner and Chris Bryant, which both I traded away. I don't know if it was the same guy or two different guys. But I don't wish this on the fantasy guy. Well, you know, on fantasy team against me, yeah. But in real life, it kind of sucks because I do think I did trade him after, you know, the sliding at the third base hand issue. And then I think it was last night, the night before, he caught a fastball on that same wrist, hand, or forearm. So it looks like he's day-to-day again. You know, if he's not able to play, how much do you think this affects the Cubs going into the playoffs? Or, you know, going into the last month of the season? Would you kind of give him the 10 days?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, he's done a nice job of, you know, kind of fighting through these injuries. But, yeah, you know, sooner or later, yeah, you kind of got to look at it and just kind of go, yeah, we need to we need to sit you down for a little bit and let you kind of get it together and, you know, get things under control and, you know, be 100%. You know, because that's obviously the big key is he needs to be 100% as they move into the playoffs. You know, because he's one of their guys. They're not going anywhere without Chris Bryant. It's just bottom line. It's just that simple. So we'll have to see if it's something they consider or, you know, what they kind of decide to do with him. I'm not sure how they'll end up working it out, but I think for the best, wouldn't you, it might be the better thing just to go, hey, you know, take 10 days and, you know, let's go that route.
I mean, I would think so, especially with the way Milwaukee has kind of been on the downside. No pun intended, Drew Barry or Bernie? Bernie, there we go, Bernie. Because he slides down one, never mind.
Yeah.
I would think this would be the time because we're almost into September. You know, if you put him on now, you can kind of work him out and, you know, let him take that rest all the way through Labor Day weekend. See what he has going on after that. And then that gives him a whole, well, you know, right after Labor Day weekend, it gives him 3 weeks to kind of get back to the swing of things. I think with his age, his, you know, experience now in the major league, it's just, you know, 3 weeks. He'd be ready for the playoffs, you know, kind of getting back on the regular schedule.
So, yeah, you know, you would, you know, you would hope that would work out. You know, you always, you know, it's the problem is it makes sense. And that's always kind of like, well, if it makes sense, would they do it? You know, it's always that, you know, that fun question. So, you know, we'll have to see what they decide. But I know I heard him saying today he doesn't want to go on the DL.
No, I mean, and who would want to? And you don't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you don't want a guy that wants to go on the DL, but, you know, that's one of the things. I want to say, you know, part of the game that these guys, that's what they have to say. You know, I don't want to go on the DL, and, you know, that's the right thing to say for the fans. But, you know, and he could have concluded it with, I don't want to go on the DL, but I would do what's best for my team and, you know, what the front office and Joe have in store for me. So, but, you know, I mean, none of these guys want to go on the DL. No one, you know, gets into Major League Baseball and doesn't want to be on the DL. So I think that's pretty obvious. I don't really know of a guy that, or heard a guy ever say that, or, you know, even come out after the game, after he's done with the game and said that he enjoyed being on the DL. So, you know, but I think it would probably be best. I mean, they have your favorite guy, Tommy La Stella, who could fill in at third base. And,
yeah,
you know, maybe Kyle Schwarber can learn a new position. And not to mention Javi Baez and Ben Zobrist. So, you know, Ben's the super
on, they had Anthony Rizzo. Hobby. You know, Anthony Rizzo played third
Rizzo.
Base last night. But,
yeah, even Rizzo. I mean, it's not like you have an issue where you don't have guys that could fill the spot for a week or 10 days, you know.
I'm thinking it could be the best, but it's so tough to say because, like, I don't know we don't know the extent of the injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it just a flare-up? Is it something more serious? You know, what do they? So, you know, until we kind of find out a little more, you know, it's just probably better to, you know, to wait it out and see what's actually going on.
And, you know, like, how is he proactive?
Well, you know, and I know he's not in the lineup, you know, he's not in the lineup tonight. So, you know, he's going to get the night off. You know, we'll see, you know, now do they play tomorrow or do they is it an off day? Do you know off the top of your head or do I need to look here real quick?
You'll have to look that one up. I think it's a day off, but it should be travel.
They're in Cincinnati tomorrow. It's a good old 6:10 start. So they are playing tomorrow. Then they just head to Philadelphia. So it's not a big road trip. So yeah, there's no off day. So they'll have to see. I mean, I'm sure being local, you know, you and I will get a little more information as, you know, things come through. So we'll kind of see how it goes. But yeah, my biggest concern is he needs to be as close to 100% as possible heading into the playoffs.
I mean, you know, Washington has a great team going, but they have half the team on the DL, it seems like. Whenever I pick a guy from their team, it never works out in FanDuel. That's a whole other story. Except for Edwin Jackson, oddly. But, you know, you want to be at 100% going up against that team and also the Dodgers.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, you've got to think, you know, Washington is going to get their guys back. You know, Kershaw's going on a rehab assignment this weekend. So, you know, that's going to make the Dodgers more dangerous. You know, I know you can say all you want about his playoff performances. I don't want to run into Clayton Kershaw in any game. I don't care how bad his playoff record has been. So, you know, just that simple. So, yeah, you know, these teams are going to be healthy or get healthy. You're going to need to be in the same situation, you know, because it's looking more and more like, if you get in, Washington is going to be your matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're gonna have to be ready to handle Scherzer and Strasburg. And, you know, even Gio, you know, Gio Gonzalez has had a really good year, but nobody's kind of talked about it. So, you know, obviously you're going to get them 1, 2, 3. You know, 4 is kind of, you know, doesn't really matter, you know, with that kind of setup. But you want a healthy Chris Bryant when you're going to face those three guys because obviously they're three really tough pitchers.
Yeah, it's amazing how the end of the season, Joe starts putting together a more traditional lineup.
Yeah.
Bryant got pushed down. got pushed. I mean, what's that about? I thought the whole season.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, my thing with Madden is I always feel he's just a guy who wants the attention. So he does mm-hmm. these kind of things to grab the attention. You know, like last night, why did Anthony Rizzo play third base? There was no reason for it, but it gave the reporters a reason to come to Joe Madden and say, hey, look at this quirky thing you did. Oh, God, you're such a quirky manager. Nobody else would do this. You're just quirky, quirky, quirky. You know, I mean, I you know, it's just, he kind of seems like that kid who's just, you know, you're the kid in the big family who wants all the attention, so you do things to get the attention.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. As long as the team wins.
You know, it won't take much, though, for him to wear thin on even the media here because, you know, the media has definitely soaked into it and, you know, kissed his butt. But regardless of how they play, a lot of them are getting tired of even the stupid road trip gimmicks. You know, dressing like this and dressing like that. They, you know, people don't understand what it really does, which nothing, but you know that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, as a whole, like for us, it, you know, it doesn't do anything for us. I mean, I guess maybe it's fun for the players to do. I'm sure some of them enjoy that. I don't know if you could get any of them to tell you the truth, but no, you know, that's kind of, you know, maybe after their career is over, one of them might tell you if they like the idea or not, but I don't know for sure. So.
Well, you know, I mean, my persona, my attitude, I wouldn't have been the odd man out because, I think you were the one who brought up if you don't dress up, you have to donate $100 to Joe Madden's, fund, charity fund. And I told you, making the money they make, I'd have been just dropping $100 bills every road trip. But
I wonder if there are guys that do it, you know, who just like, hey, here, take $100, I don't want to deal with the BS. So here, just go ahead and take it. I know like sometimes as a rookie, you're kind of forced to do it, and I know they banned a lot of that stuff, you're not allowed to. Yeah, you're not allowed to, have fun anymore, basically. So, a lot of it, like you mentioned, they put up with them. Winning covers that stuff up. If they were losing, well, we would probably have a different story on their hands. And, I was a complete advocate for the fact if this team didn't get into the playoffs this year, he should be fired. With this kind of talent in that division, it's not like you're playing, you don't have to beat out the Dodgers, you don't have to beat out the Nationals, that kind of stuff. So you should easily go to the playoffs and, in this division. If he couldn't have handled that job as a manager, he should have been out. Now, would they have done it? No, because he signed for I think 2 or 3 years after this. So, but, that was just my opinion.
They're not the Chicago Bears.
That, like I said, that was just kind of how I felt, but, we'll see. Again, it's a good team. I don't think it's a great team. I don't think they're as good as last year, but once you get in, that's the thing. All you need to do is be in. There's no say in that whoever wins the wild card game, maybe it's Colorado, maybe it's Arizona, maybe somebody else sneaks in there. They could easily go in and beat the Dodgers in a series. I mean, that's the one thing about baseball is, it's not that one game. If you go out and have a bad game in game one, you don't have to worry because you're coming back for game two. Like the NFL or, college football, be it, if you have one bad game at the wrong time, well, you're out and you're done. So, and in the NBA, if you're not the Golden State Warriors or the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're out and you're done.
Pretty much.
I did see, though, I didn't get a chance to read the article. I tweeted it out on the I sent it out on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, so it does go out on the at Sports Time Radio Twitter feed. Your relatives should be happy. They're predicting that the Nashville Predators will be the next NHL dynasty. Yeah.
They didn't win the Stanley Cup last year.
No, but they got there, though. I kind of looked at just a quick overview of it, and they're comparing them to, like, the Penguins and the Blackhawks. And there was one other team, because I believe three teams have won 8 Stanley Cups in a 12-year span. It must be the Kings. So they were kind of comparing them to those teams and kind of lining it up, how they're lined up, very similar to how those teams did it. So we'll have to see. But the minute I saw it, I'll go back and read it here in 5 minutes when we're wrapped up. But, yeah, I just kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, Dan's got relatives there. Maybe he'll be going to Nashville more often to see hockey games. So, but, yeah, you know, all that stuff is just, you know, right around the corner. We'll be drafting, you know, a hockey team soon, a basketball team soon, and, heck, a football team in, what, about 10 days?
Yeah, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, so it's going to be, you know, it's busy. It's getting going to get busy time for us trying to figure out, you know, how who to start looking at and who's picking where and which quarterbacks are starting and, you know, how much Dan's going to pay for Kevin Durant this year. And, you know, is he going to go with Jonathan Toews again? We got lots of questions, people. It's just tough to get all these answered. There's just not enough time.
No, and, you know, that's an interesting thing, Big Jack. You know, I've been doing some fantasy drafts or mock drafts for basketball. I'm starting with them first because I believe their draft is first. And then I'll do the hockey. I got to get my 50 mock drafts in so I can earn my stupid medal from Yahoo. I mean, the auction style that we're going with, you're pretty much, it's, you know, and with $200, you have a big two, not like the NBA where you have the big three. So if we have $300, we'll have a big three on, you know, each of the top teams. It's going to be very hard though, because the top guys are going for like $70, $80. And if you get two guys in that range, I mean, you might as well just take an hour break and, you know, let the rest of the league pick their two guys and then come back, because you're not going to have any money to spend. So I know there's like the different theories, the stars and scrubs, but I mean, it's going to be rough, but I think everyone's going to go and spend all their money. So I think we might be in a position where you get your two top guys, you kind of, you know, sit back, let the draft play out, and then come back later, and you might get some solid guys towards the bottom, but it's rough. All my grades on all my mock drafts have been, I haven't got anything higher than a C minus, maybe a C plus.
So, yeah, I do have to go in and give us a little more money to spend. You know, I was just kind of in the process of getting things set up because I was starting to get emails from guys who wanted to come back and join. So I wanted to make sure to get it all, all set up. So I,
I'm just going by the mock draft I'm doing with the $200 limit. And I mean, it doesn't help. I think we'll fall into that situation where people who don't show up, the auto drafts, you know, LeBron James is going to go from, you know, being nominated for $2. And if someone doesn't bid right away, or, you know, maybe we get up to 25 and then the next thing you know, the auto picker, auto drafter jumps it up to what his, you know, estimated value of maybe $70-$80. So, you know, Russell Westbrook, you're looking at a jump from 2, 5, 7 to 79. So it's going to be interesting.
All right. Well, time for Dan and I to head out, but hey, we're going to come back tomorrow live at 5:30 to do it all again. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog going up this morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like if you would, please. Dan and I greatly appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like to. As always, we really appreciate you listening to doing that. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.